This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Around the World. I'm Dylan, and I'm here with Drags, and we're back with episode 7. Today, we have a super exciting guest. We're here with Richard Glemu. Richard is a graduate of the Right to Dream Academy. He's also a national champion at the preparatory high school level with South Kent School. He then went on to Southern Maine University, where he won the 2017 Little East Rookie of the Year. He then went on to Davis and Elkins University, and now he is the creator and owner of Soccer GH, which is a massive Instagram account, and he's one of the bigger soccer influencers in the community. On a personal note, I know Richard from South Kent. I came in as a young guy. He was an older guy that took me under his wing and was super cool right away. So, Richard, we're super happy to have you, man. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing good, and thanks for the introduction. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you.
No problem, man. So what are you up to right now?
I'm currently in Ohio. I'm in Pennsylvania, but I work in Ohio, which is 30 minutes drive from here. I work for CoreCivic. It's a travel corrections company. So pretty much we travel. We go to state by state, work 6 weeks, get 10 days off, and then travel to a different state. So I've been all over the place, but yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's awesome, bro. It's funny that you're all over the place, yet you always have time for your Instagram account, which is obviously, as Dylan mentioned, just blowing up, and we'll get to that later. But no, that's awesome, man. And we're super pumped to have you today. So let's just get right into it. So we want to start off, as Dylan said in his intro, you're a Right to Dream Academy product. So for those who don't know, obviously my high level overview, really not having too much knowledge on it, which we want you to talk about, but basically what Right to Dream does is it provides a platform for talented players to get opportunities. The best ones, honestly, that the soccer world has to offer. And so you graduated from the Right to Dream Academy and came to America afterwards. So as Dylan mentioned, you came to South Kent. So what was that like for you making that transition and coming to America through Right to Dream?
I mean, it wasn't easy. So I came here in 2013. It still feels like just yesterday, like beautiful place, like on the hillside. The funny thing is, like, I actually didn't know it was an all-boys school till I got there. So from Ghana, I mean, the opportunity came in, like, they were like, hey, Richard, there's this opportunity for you to further your education in America. So I was excited. I was so excited. I mean, they told me the school, right? And I didn't even ask if it was an all boys. Like, I was so excited to go. So the first day I go, I go on campus, and I remember Dietrich, one of the goalkeepers, like, showed me around. Like I met a few of the guys on the soccer team, and so we had a whole meeting. We had a meeting in the basketball court, and I just saw all guys. So I was like, wait, where are the girls at? Like, maybe they might be in the meeting somewhere else. So I mean, it's my first day there, so I just didn't want to like seem like, well, I'm just here for girls or whatever. So I didn't ask, but on my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe they also have a different meeting somewhere, and we're gonna meet them later. But yeah, I knew it was an all boys school. But yeah, I think the transition, like, I mean, it's pretty much the same, like going to a new place, like having to know, like having to know the place. It was a new environment for me. Like the weather was new, like the people were new, like even just the And I mean, back then I had a thick accent too. I mean, I still have it now, but it was worse back then. So I had it like, everyone goes like, oh, come again, what you say? Come again. So even just that. And even with school and all that, like it was a whole different like ball game. But with the people, like I think the people made it really easy for me because everyone came, like South Kent was pretty small enough that like everyone knew it was my first day there. So like people just come to me and ask me if I need anything, like if I need help going somewhere. So I think even though it was a tough transition, like the people around made it really easy for me.
Yeah, definitely. That's got to be a pretty big shocker. It's coming over and you're like, oh shit, this is an all boys school. You were not.
Quick enough. I was like, yeah, I learned that.
Yeah. Well, honestly, South Kent. Quick shout out to South Kent. It's one of the top programs in the country as far as prep high schools. Owen Finberg, does a fantastic job running that program. They pump out NEPSAC championships. They pump out national championships. It's one of the top programs in the country. Rich, I want to talk to you a little bit about your national championship season that I was also there for. But before we get into that, for the listeners, me and Drags are familiar with Right to Dream. But for the listeners, can you just kind of explain to them what that is and kind of the essence of the Right to Dream Academy?
Pretty much Right to Dream is a non-profitable organization like based in Ghana, and so it was Tom Venner like started the whole program. And so what they pretty much do is they said like a recruiting process, so they go around like the local community and like host tournaments, and like through that, so it's a tournament but it's all like a recruiting process. So they pick out the best out of the best. So for my class, because we have the generation, so
right.
I was the fourth generation. So there was like three other like groups before me. So mm-hmm. with my generation, like, so back then, Right to Dream was based in a place called Accra. So it's like eastern region of Ghana. So I played in this tournament and I got an invitation to come for like a final tryout. So, I mean, I ended up like I didn't know there's like a whole lot of people. I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
But then I got there and there's like thousands of kids like fighting for the same opportunity.
Yeah.
It's a lot of kids. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just me. I thought like they picked me and that's it. Yeah. When there's it's a lot of kids. So, pretty much what they did was like so they had this little game for a week straight, and they ended up with like six people. And I was fortunate enough to be part of the six. So pretty much what Right to Dream does is they help provide for kids to like soccer through academics and they help build your character too. Mm-hmm. And I mean it was just for kids in Ghana, but now it's big enough that they go to a lot of like different African countries and try to bring kids in. But yeah, pretty much that's what their aim is. And they have there's a whole like character traits, and one of the big character traits is giving back. So they like we don't have to pay anything, like everything is taken care of, like we get scholarships and all that. So one of the things they emphasize a lot on is giving back. So it's pretty much like they help us through life and all that. So like someday, not even just money or whatever, like someday we'll come back home to our roots and try to like help people. So yeah, not just by giving money, but we come back, help with kids, like give an advice to kids who are trying to take the same path and all that. So yeah, that's what Right to Dream is about. It's just a non-profitable organization that helps like kids through like soccer, through education, and try to build their attitude for the future.
Yeah. No, thanks for that overview. And I think it's important just for our listeners to hear, because, you know, me and Dill obviously have a little bit a background on it, because we have two Right to Dream. We had two Right to Dreamers on our Villanova team. So we had a little bit of knowledge of what it's about. So we appreciate you sharing that to everyone. And obviously it's a super established now and you're one of the, it's really cool that you're one of the first classes. And so you could be a part of kind of the roots of it. Exactly. So Yeah. It's super cool that how, where it's gone now and what its mission is. And as you mentioned, like its mission is everything great. It's literally just providing opportunity and building character, which you can't get better. And obviously it's produced a lot of quality players that have come to the States as well, including yourself, Richard. So it's awesome.
They had the whole number. They had the whole, like, cause it's not just America, but it's like worldwide now. There's kids in Europe. There's kids in debt. Like it's all over there. It's like just looking back from where it started and how and what it's accomplished. It's insane. It's crazy. Yeah.
So yeah, Rich, we one thing we wanted to ask you because we noticed. So obviously you said it provides opportunities, not only just America, but all over the world. And I think we saw you had an opportunity to go to Man City for a stint. Is that true?
Yeah. So what happened was, so I think, I mean, there's a few guys who actually got the opportunity to actually like go to Man City, like their facility and play with them and all that, like play games and all that. But what happened with me is, we went to, so they, I don't know if they still do it anymore, but every year we have like a mix of teams. So we'll bring like a few players and they will bring the rest. And I mean, with their coaches and all that, we meet up in Dubai. So I had the opportunity to go on that trip, like to Dubai. And like, I mean, we stayed in Abu Dhabi, but we had a whole team set up. So we go around like Dubai and Abu Dhabi and play some of their top teams over there. So that's as a whole, like it was a great opportunity just to be around that kind of like that kind of level of soccer and like meet new people. Like it was an amazing experience too. Like met a lot of players and actually that year Patrick Vieira was our coach. So again, that's just a whole new just the fact that like being in a Man City uniform and like traveling around like representing Man City is just that felt amazing. But yeah, that's opportunity I had with them. But the year like actually like a few of our guys went to England and I traveled. I missed that year. But again, I don't know if I could say I played for them, but we had a team with them that like went around and played games and all that. So
yeah. No, that's super cool, man. Even if you don't get to like play with the or go to Manchester and play with the team, it's just insanely cool that you got to be coached by Vieira and play with all those kinds of players. Like that's super dope. Yeah. Like you said, Rich, Dreamers have a long history of success in Europe and America. Right to Dreamers produce champions, and Richard, you're one of those champions. You won a national championship at South Kent. Which is a prestigious program that has won a lot of trophies. But talk to us, Rich, about what that's like, what that experience was like winning the national championship with South Kent.
Oh, it was an amazing experience. The team was great, but even the crazy part was like the goalie position was even like crazier because you had Dietrich who played for his national team and all that. So
played for the Bermuda national team.
So I had to fight for my spot, but so most part of it we were sharing the games. Like we shared most of the game, but then like I think the final game he played, like he was, because I guess our coach knew what he was doing. So he came up with the side he think was gonna win the whole thing. So Dietrich played the whole game. I mean, and we played against I think St. Lawrence, St. Lawrence Academy. So we played like at the end of the 90 minutes it was goalless. So at the end of, I came on right before the end of the extra time for the PKs because for some reason like they thought I would be the best choice for PKs. So I saved two PKs. For us to be crowned champion. So I was just like, I'm just fortunate enough that I could actually like be part of it and also like be able to save a peak, even though like I wasn't even warm. The great thing is I didn't even warm up, but I was just put in the game just to save the PKs, and like fortunate enough I was able to save two of them. And but that actually just it even felt amazing. Like when you walk into a the basketball court. Like where the trophy room. Yeah. It's just like you looking at it and being like, wow, I was actually part of this. Like just that alone, like has a whole feeling to it. So right now I could go back and I'm sure it's still hanging. So
it's just an amazing experience. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of one of the South Kent National Championship teams as well. And as you know, just that group headed by Owen Finberg, it's a really close group. And when you go to an all boys school, as unfortunate as that is, you get really close with the guys and
it's a band of brothers.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a big family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate too. I went to an all boys school as well, so I know that feeling. We unfortunately didn't get a national championship.
Where did you go?
I went to Archbishop Curley. I'm from and it's in Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, no, dude, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And I think one thing that's really cool is like your story about coming off the bench, being put in a situation like a high stakes situation. Like you look at like professional teams that do that and pull that and maybe make a goalie sub for PKs and it never really works out, it seems like, at the professional level. But it's pretty sick that you have a success story with that, and that's really cool. And congrats of course you too, you and Dylan. Thanks. for that national Thanks. championship. That's awesome, man. So we kind of want to shift gears now. So basically you obviously went on to college, as Dylan said in your intro, but your soccer career came to an end, like on the field at least. So you hung up the boots, but you were driven to stay heavily involved in the soccer community in some way. So what kind of caused you to do that? What made you stick around in some way to the soccer community? Is it passion or what is it?
Honestly, so I mean, we didn't have that in Ghana, but like here, most parents will come to the games and like videotape like pictures and stuff. So it's always been like exciting. After the game, you get pictures and videos from the game, like just looking back at your like it's just it, I look forward to it because it's just exciting. So, and I know people do it, but honestly, I didn't know like Instagram or whatever like had a whole platform just for soccer, like to post soccer and stuff. So I think I don't know if Dylan remembers, but we like every morning so we used to play futsal. One of the times like it was a corner kick, so I came all the way out and one of our players like lobbed the ball a little bit, so I hit a volley and me being a goalie scoring a volley in a futsal game, like it was impressive. So I don't know if you're familiar with like the overtime page.
So
honestly I don't know how they got the video, but all of a sudden like I checked my phone and a lot of people were hitting me. I was like, oh, Richard, they posted you. I was like, who posted me? I have no idea. Like I didn't even know the page. So then I looked at it, I was like, oh shoot. And I didn't even know where they got the video from. So then like I was going through their page and I was like, wow, like they said actually there's a platform for things like this, because like, I thought Instagram was just pictures.
Yeah.
So then I was like, you know, like I have a lot of videos from the games and all that, like people will take videos and stuff. So, and I mean, I need a place to save all the videos. So I was like, why not just upload them on Instagram? So, I mean, I started off like I didn't know how Instagram, like I didn't know the ins and out of Instagram.
Yeah.
So I was just uploading and like it's just usually I think what drove me the most was the comment, like just like being able to go back and people's really actually enjoying seeing what you post and stuff. So I was like, oh okay, this could be a thing. So as the journey was going, like I'm a lot of friends with some people on Instagram, like they'll tell me, oh this how you do it, this how it's supposed to be, like so like as time goes on, I learned a lot. And I mean, some of the summers I still like I'll coach soccer and all that. So I spend a lot of time on the field. So there's always time to like kicker. And usually, like, Dylan knows, like, I hate being a goalie, to be honest. Like, I didn't like being a goalie at all. So I'd rather just be out playing with the outfielders. So the only time I get to do that or kick around is away from, like, organized soccer, away from the team. So that's why I started, like, actually, like, going to the field and videoing myself, like, kicking around, because that's the only opportunity I could get to actually, like, do what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So with Instagram, like, blowing up and all that, like, honestly, I just enjoyed what I do. Like, because people will be like, oh, how do I get these followers? How do I get this number, this and that? But it's all about, like, just enjoying what you do. So honestly, like, I'll just post, come back, reply people and all that. Like, it just took off by itself. Like, I didn't care about numbers, this and that. I just did what I enjoyed doing. And now it's like, I don't even think about it, but it's like part of me. Like, yeah. I mean, with a job and all that, I barely get, the only free time I get is, so we work 4 days, 2 days off. So, and it's 12, it could be 12 to 14 hours shift, depending on what time your relief come and all that. So the two days I'm off, I go to the field. Usually, actually, like, I travel a lot. So I'll usually, like, search, like, the closest field to the hotel. So my 2 days off, I'll go to the field and just try to get, like, a few videos saved. So during the times I go to work, I'll just post it, come back in the morning and reply to all those comments. So even though, like, I work a lot and all that, I still, that's because that's actually what I enjoy doing, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy doing that than actual work. So
yeah.
I don't find that as a job. I just do it as a free time or as a hobby. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I do the most.
Well, Rich, I think I know how Overtime found your video. It's probably because you didn't shut up about that goal for a fucking year. So,
no. You know how Cookie is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Dietrich.
I know Cookie. Dietrich. Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. So scoring on him, hell yeah. I have to go off of it. You would have done worse. Hey, he would have done worse. Like.
Hey, power over finesse, right? Power over finesse.
Yes. It. Power over technique.
Power over technique.
No, technique over power.
Technique over power. Technique over power. Okay.
I was about to say. It's got to be technique first.
Oh, man. I forgot that saying. It's been a minute since I used that.
Oh, yeah, bro. I had to remind you, bro. What I knew we were going to talk about that. I knew that goal would come up, bro. And I remember I was telling Drax, I was like, power over finesse.
No, they're crazy. I didn't even know someone was recording. You know who recorded? So it's a recruit's mom recorded that video. So I think I didn't even know why she was recording. Like, she got on there, like, she recorded at the right time because we had this recruit come in and I mean, they were watching us play, and I think his mom was recording. So after the game, I was still like, hey, you saw that girl, this, and I was going on and on about it, and then I got, like, a WhatsApp message with a video. I was like, what? Actually got a video of it, so yeah,
there we
go. It's permanent. And even that, like, anytime I post it, Dietrich always have something to say about it. Yeah. He always have something to say about it.
Hey, you need a video, or else it didn't happen, and you got the videos. So now you have all the glory.
No one would have believed me, because no one would have believed me if there wasn't a video.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But so, yeah, like, it was exciting.
Yeah, exactly, man. But Rich, you kind of touched on it, but we want to talk about it a little more, because your Instagram account is really, really blown up. You've got 112,000 followers currently, which is a huge number, and you've gotten a bunch of sponsorships. You're a big person in the soccer community. So you talked a little bit about how it started and that you love doing it, and that's probably one of the reasons that it's blown up. But what has it been like, as the account is blowing up, what has that experience been like for you?
Oh, man, it's crazy. Like, not even talking about the daily DMs I get from people. Like, the first company that actually hit me up was, like, Body Armor. So I checked my DM and I saw, like, yeah, I was like, no, what the hell? This is weird. So they all what they ask is, like, we would like to tell you something about, like, we like your content and keep it up. But, like, what's your address? We'd like to send you some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what? Like, I sent my address to them, and it didn't even say read. You know how, like, the DMs, like, So I was like, maybe they just playing. They would never check it.
Yeah.
So then a few days later, like I actually got stuff in the mailbox saying, like, I mean, a huge box, and it was like drinks and drinks and a jersey and stuff. Like, I'm like, so just the fact that you get stuff from people just from doing what you like or like what makes you happy, mm-hmm. It's just an amazing feeling. And like I do promote a lot of small companies, like just put they'll ask me, hey, if I send this, would you be able to like post it on your store so people will see it and maybe buy from us. So it's just the fact that you actually like get, and I mean, I could actually get money from it because a few companies hit me up and asked me like, how much are you gonna charge us for a post? And I'm like, I don't really charge. I mean, I do it for fun. So I'll be like, hey, send me something and I'll post about it. Like some of them, I don't even charge them anything because honestly, like this is just a side hobby thing. Maybe in the future, when I decide to make money out of it, it's different. But like right now, I just do what I can to help like people, like small businesses who are trying to like blow up and stuff like that. But it's just, the main thing is just waking up to people, or like just the comment, like people just say like some people even go ahead and tell me I inspired them to go to the field and play, which I'm like, wow, like it's just an amazing, like the feedback is amazing. And also like people like asking you like, hey, like how do you do this? Like, can you help me do that? Just going through the comments and reading the DMs of people like being supportive just feels amazing, to be honest. And that keeps me going, just a comment. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Dude, I was thinking just because, you know, obviously Dill knows you better than me, but like just as you're speaking, I think one thing I noticed and one thing I picked up on was just how how devoted you are all the way back to that Right to Dream mission. It seems like, you know, just like giving back in some way. And I think that's what you're doing with this page right now, which is literally awesome to hear, because I don't think we have enough of those people like in the social space right now. So, I mean, I'm glad you do that. And I'm glad that you shared that, because it's a really cool thing that you're doing. And it's something that you deserve a lot of credit for. So that's awesome, man. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. So this dude just DM'd me this morning, and he's starting a whole new business and asked if I could help him promote it and all that. So he gave me his number and was like, I mean, this is a long shot, but can I hop on the phone with you? So I was like, sure. So the first thing he said was, I'm surprised you actually replied to me, because like he's set a lot of people up who has like a number on Instagram, and they don't get back at him. They don't like reply back. So he was surprised I got back to him. And I told him, I was like, I mean, I do work a lot, but usually when I see like messages, I'll try to get back to you. Like, sometimes it might not be right away, but if I see it, I try my best to reply people and all that. So yeah. And as you said, I didn't even think about it that way, because I mean, it's in a way, it's like giving back to the community that's giving me so much. So yeah, that's how I'll put it.
Yeah, no, like I said, like it doesn't get better than what you're doing. So you know, around the world as you're back, it's awesome. And we appreciate you sharing all that. But one thing, so obviously Body Armor was your first, like, you know, sponsorship. They sent you stuff and that. So obviously, as you said, you like to focus on smaller businesses, but you know, what is it like? Like, what is the feeling of just having, you know, these being like a big player in the soccer community and just having these soccer brands hitting you up and, you know, having to, you know, sift through and be like, do I want to do this? Is this good for my brand? Yada, 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 whatever. But like, how is that experience just like kind of dealing with all this sponsorships and dealing with, you know, what goes along with having a pretty big page?
No, it's an amazing experience. Like, and the thing is, usually like some of these big companies would be like, oh, if I send you this amount of this, you have to post,
this how to post the story, this and that. And I mean, I've actually worked the company like that, which I don't want to say the name, but I don't like all the restrictions. Like you could only post this, you could only hashtag this. So usually with a small business, like they sending the stuff and you decide like what you want to do with it, which I like, because then like it gives you a lot of freedom to do like what you actually wanna do to help them. So like, I mean, mostly like a lot of like, I don't know if you know about the grip socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot of like, so there's a lot of like different companies that deals in grips also. I have a lot of different companies who send me like grip socks and ask me if I could promote them for them. And they don't tell me what to do. Like, well, this is how you post it. This is the time of day you have to post it for us, this and that. Like they send it to you and you do what you want to do with it. And even what feels amazing is like, you just getting a package in a box, just that. I mean, it might not mean a lot to people, but just the fact that you actually like pretty much getting packages from something you enjoy doing, like it's just like just that itself feels amazing. And I'm like, this company just hit me up. They're doing like retro jerseys. So they hit me up and asked me if they could send me a few jerseys for me to like post on my store for them, because it's like it's a small business. And they asked me like, what jersey do I want? Like who do I want? And I just told them, I was like, hey, I mean, I like surprises, so just send whatever you want to send. So things like that, just knowing there's something in the box, but then just don't really know what's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I look forward to things like that, to be honest.
No, dude. And like you said, like the fact that you're getting all of this for doing what you love is kind of what makes it just work.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. And you're profiting from it. But Rich, just one last question, just to kind of bring this whole conversation full circle. You mentioned in the beginning, and you've said it in a bunch of different interviews, something that's important to you is eventually giving back to the Right to Dream program. And that's something that they instill in you guys when you're coming up. And so now you have this huge platform with so many people following, obviously sponsorships reaching out to you. So how do you think this has given you a platform to kind of be able to make an impact and give back to the Right to Dream? Maybe not now or down the road, whenever, but just the fact that you have a platform and you have the intentions of giving back. So how has that all played into it?
So, I mean, I'm not sure if I explain it well, but Right to Dream honestly don't want us to give back to them, right?
Yeah.
So they are helping us, but they want us to give back to our community. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the easiest way of giving back to Right to Dream, because you know, like once a while, I mean, you know, Theo and Seidu and them, they go back to Ghana, right? Like once a while they go back to Ghana, and we go back to the academy, right? Just to visit, just to see like old friends. Mm-hmm. And there's always, you know how like we are fourth generation. So there's always like once we get to some level, they push us up and they recruit a whole new group, like a whole new kids. Mm-hmm. So usually we go there, we go back, right? And the kids will be like, hey, how are you? They'll come to you and introduce themselves to you. And it's just like, just sitting down, just telling them your experience in Right to Dream and like, and how you're able to like get to where you are. That is what Right to Dream is all about. Just being able to like, and most people think like giving back is like money, or you have to like, Right to Dream did this to you, so you have to like come back and give money to people. Like that's a way of giving back, but for like a Right to Dream principle, giving back is like just sharing your experience and just helping like the little kids, like just helping them, if they want to take the same path you took, just helping them with advice and like what to do and what it's like. And just with the page, just giving back again, it's because I have a lot of like people from Africa who hit me up and be like, hey, I have this video, but if you could promote me, because you never know who's watching. That's what they say. Like, you never know who is watching, because it's like, I mean, everyone's on social media nowadays, so you never know who's watching. So I'll just post on my story and be like, hey, check this kid out, like this and that, because, and that's just that by itself is like a way of giving back. And because Instagram nowadays is like it's a huge exposure. So again, you never know who's watching, you never know where the opportunity will come from and all that. So I think in the way of that, maybe in the near future when I should be like, oh, this is what maybe I want to do and all that, maybe there's a different way of giving back altogether. We're having like a platform like that. But for now, it's just like posting, like promoting people and also like posting them. And so like people could actually see, like, because some people have the talent, but they just don't have the exposure.
Right.
So just, I mean, putting them out there in some way or the other, like helps people, helps the right people to see them. And like maybe in future too, I'll try, like, because I was thinking about it, because I know some like individuals or some organizations, like, because what I know people do is like, honestly, like around here, people don't really use like cleats for like people use cleats, but let's say comparing a soccer player in Ghana and comparing a soccer player here. I mean, you guys go through like new cleats, like what, every season, I'll say.
Yeah.
Like in Ghana, someone could have one cleat for like years. And once your cleat rips, we actually have to sew it back. We hand sew the cleats back. So what I was trying to do is like, I mean, because I know a lot of like soccer players, so I'll ask them, hey, can I get your old cleats you're not using, like jerseys you're not using, like, so even soccer balls you're not using, or gloves you're not using, and I'll try to like send it back to people who actually like, because the thing is, maybe it might look old here, but to someone in Ghana or someone who's like, who has to struggle to get even like a new pair of cleats, it will mean so much to them. So that's what I'll do. Like I'll post on my story, hey, if you have any like soccer cleats or soccer jersey or a ball like you are not using and like send it to this address or this and that. So once I get enough of it, I'll just send it back home and distribute it or give it to people who actually like who love having it. So that's what, like in the near future, that's like something I actually think about doing.
Yeah. Alvarez, that's super inspiring, man. I mean, just the way that you decided to give back and help your community, man. Like, you obviously, you made it against the odds. You're talking about thousands of kids in the trials of Right to Dream, and you were picked, and now you're here, and you're still doing it. You're giving back, and maybe we can talk after the episode. I think Drags, like, I think we'd love to help with that as well. But man, Rich, it is inspiring hearing you talk about it. And dude, you're making a difference in a ton of people's lives. I'm sure you know that, but that's big time, man.
Yeah, no, and I was gonna say the same thing. I was gonna say, let me know. I'm in the cleats and soccer balls, because that's an awesome.
Yeah, because honestly, I've actually seen like guys, because what we're actually, right? We are fortunate enough to get sponsored by, like, we used to get sponsored by Umbro, but I think now they, if I'm not mistaken, they're sponsored by Nike. So what happens is like our old cleats, we give it back to like the local communities.
Mm-hmm.
And you think your cleat is ruined. Like, I can't use this anymore. Like, I want a new cleat. That old cleat, you don't need the amount of like the smile it puts on a kid you give it to is just insane. I'm like, I'm out here saying I don't need this cleat because it's broken, all that, but someone is so happy just to get the cleats I don't want. Like, it's just, the feeling is amazing. Like, I know people who do that, who like, who ask people to donate stuff they don't need and they take it back home, and it makes a huge difference. Huge difference.
Yeah, no, for sure, bro. Again, just to echo what Dill said, like, it's an awesome thing you're doing, and we're here to support you. And I hope our listeners got a lot out of that. And you know, we could spend all day talking about the bangers you score on your Instagram, but we'll just direct our listeners to your Instagram. So we'll link it in the description of this podcast, but it's soccer.gh. So yeah, if you want to check that out, that's Rich's page. So
one more. So honestly, like when I started, the hardest thing was to look for a name for it. So mm-hmm. I started off with, because I told you the first exposure I got was Overtime.
Yeah. Yep.
So I made it Overtime GH. Yeah, because I was like, I didn't know what to do with it. So then like the Overtime guy was like, hey, I mean, I'm like, they told me they're happy that I'm using the name for it, but again, which they don't mind me doing, but in case I want to sell merch or anything, I can't like represent official, like represent their brand.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, And then I spoke to a dude and he was like, hey, it's better if you just change the name and make it your own brand. So that's how, like, I was like, soccer got, like, it was a whole process of going through, like, what's name it. So I ended up having it. And fortunately enough, no one, because there's too many people on Instagram. So most names have already been taken. So Darky, I was like, over time, GH, I mean, it's easy for someone to remember.
Yeah.
So, and likely enough, like, no one was using that. So that's how, like, the soccer GH came about.
Yeah. There you go. Hey,
it works. Yeah.
Let me tell you, a lot of people know soccer GH now. So, which is a pretty cool thing. Yeah, Rich. So, again, appreciate you sharing your story. And you know, we'll link your socials in our description. But now it's time to move on to our next segment. So, we're actually introducing a new segment today because me and Dill are getting we're really anxious for soccer to start up again. And we obviously have some preseason games going on, but it's nothing like the real thing. I think we're all excited for that. So what we're going to do today, a little bit different, is we're going to introduce a new segment called Transfer Ticket. So what this segment is obviously there's been a lot of transfers going on recently, and specifically this past week, a lot of big names moving. And obviously the window's open till September, so you might see this segment come back again, but we're going to do it today with us three. So basically how it works is we have, I believe, five big name transfers listed to bring up today. And what the three of us are going to do is we're going to rate these transfers on a simple grading scale of just A, B, C, A plus, A minus, whatever we think is best, and give a little reason for it. So without further ado, today we're going to start with, I think, the biggest name that has moved this past week, Robert Lewandowski. So Lewandowski moved to Barcelona for 45 million euros plus 5 million of add-ons, and his wage is going to be 12 million euros. And for those not familiar with it, he's taking a 25% pay cut from what he was making at Bayern, which is something to note as we think of our grades here. So, Dill, you want to start us off with your Lewandowski transfer grade?
Yeah, man. So we're going to look at these. We're going to look at these transfers from the angle of the team that's acquiring the players. So for this one, honestly, I think we're starting off with the layup. I think it's got to be an A+. I think it's a little bit suspect how they got the money. Still got some questions about that, but that's for a different time. We're talking about getting maybe the best striker in the world, if not one of the best strikers in the world. I think when you look at the transfer fee, 45 million euros isn't too much for, again, we're talking about maybe the best number nine in the entire world. And he's taking a pay cut. So front line's going to be dangerous. Looks like Barcelona's coming back. I think it's still kind of bullshit that they're getting all these players, but A+ for me.
Yeah, man. Rich, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go with A+ too. But again, as Dylan was saying, because I thought Barca was broke at the moment. So I don't know where they're getting all that money from. That's what actually I told my friend who's like a diehard Barcelona fan. I'm like, where are you guys getting all the money from? But for the kind of player he is, I think he brings a whole different quality to a team like Barcelona. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the team, to be honest. So I think for the level, I'll go with A+ too.
All right. Well, I'm gonna take it down a little bit for a reason I'll get in, but I think I'm gonna go A for this. So obviously still in the A range where I'm just not giving it the A+. And the reason I am, obviously Dylan and Rich mentioned it, like when we're talking about the top strikers in the world, we're talking about the first two that come to my mind, taking like the young guns out, taking out the Mbappe and Haaland, because they still have some time to prove. But guys that have been doing it for years are Benzema and Lewandowski that we have in our game right now. And those are the two. And, you know, Barcelona's getting one. So you got to recognize the greatness that's coming there. So that's why he's obviously an A, but why he's not that A+ for me is because I don't worry about much with this, but what I do worry about is what we were talking about. I'm worried about Barcelona's, you know, the shadiness and all of it. I still, like, we've talked about it, and like, I don't know if I would sign up to be a part of a club like that for right now. Obviously, if Barcelona comes knocking my door, I'm taking it 100%. But I'm saying, for a player like Lewandowski, I think there's a lot of question marks within that club right now. Obviously they're getting in big names, like their attacking line is going to be insane, I think, on paper, but it is all new. So they have a full new front line they could put out besides Dembele. I would put in my first three, but you know, they got to get chemistry, obviously. And, you know, I think we're going to see numbers tick down a little bit for Lewandowski this year in a new system. Obviously he's been at Bayern forever and just bags goals at will, but it's a new system. And, you know, numbers are going to tick down, but obviously he's still going to be amazing. So that's why he's an A for me.
Yep. All fair. I agree. I don't think you're wrong for taxing them a plus because of the,
but you know, those same front three for Barcelona, right? Used to be in Dortmund, right?
Yeah.
Aubameyang. I don't know. I was thinking Rafinha was in my first three, but you know, if they somehow get Aubameyang, Lewandowski and Dembele on the field, that would be, nasty. Yeah.
So if Dembele stays healthy.
Yeah. Always a question mark.
Big F. That's a big F. Yeah. The next one we got on the ticket, it's Koulibaly to Chelsea. So here we're talking about a 34 million euro deal. They're getting one of the top center backs in the world. Athletic freak, great defender. I'll start off. I'm going to give it a B+. I love the transfer. It's getting up there in age a little bit. I still think the reason it's a B+, not anything higher for me, is there's a couple of other spots that they could have addressed that I think they still need to build out a full team. But listen, they lost Rudiger. They bring in Koulibaly. I don't even think it's a downgrade. I think they're holding court. So really good sign up for Chelsea. I think all Chelsea fans should be happy with that one.
All right. Go ahead, Rich.
I think I'll go with an A, because I mean you saw like previous years how huge Rudiger was to Chelsea, like the presence and all that. So I think Koulibaly will probably fill the same role and be a huge presence at the back and be like the bully, Rudiger is. Like, if he's able to take the same role, he's gone. Like, they probably wouldn't even miss Rudiger, because I mean, Koulibaly would be there to fill that role. So I'll give him an A.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I honestly thought Dill was undershooting a little bit. I would like you to explain more why he's in the B range, but I'm going to go right in between you two. I'm going to go A-. Because so everything we said is why he's an A for me. I think, you know, he's proven, and I think he's been waiting for this move to a bigger club for a while, and he finally got it. And I think the deal Chelsea pulled out was pretty good. Obviously he's a little bit up there in age, but I think it's a pretty good price tag for him. But the one reason he's not maybe an A or A+ for me is just, I think we've seen it a lot, just the move to the Prem, and, you know, coming from Serie A, no shame there, or no like disregarding that league in any way. I just think it's obviously a different level, like, and the Prem, and just different style of play. So he's played at Napoli for a while now, and I worry about transitioning. But look, like, I think he has the potential to be a top three center back this year. I think he's already locked in as a top five center back. That's my opinion, and that's why I'm putting him in the A range. So yeah, that's for me an A-.
Well, listen, man, I like I said, B+ is not a bad grade, guys. If my college GPA averaged out of the B+, okay, I would have a very happy parent. So the B+, I'm not hating on the grade here, but it is a B+. Drags, I'll explain. I'll give some background. Between him and Sterling, who we're going to talk about in a few minutes, they've spent 89 million, and they still have to find a replacement for Lukaku. And listen, I know people are going to say Timo Werner. Listen, if you're trusting Timo Werner to lead the line all year, I'm a United fan, so I'm happy about it. But I don't think. All right, second point, he's 31 years old. All right. And that for a center back, listen, center backs can play a little bit older, so 31 is not too bad, but he's not 25. You know, how long is he going to be a top level center back? No disagreement that he's going to be one of the best in the Prem this year, but how many years is he going to be a top center back? So again, I'm giving it a good grade. Like I said, B plus in school, I'm chilling, but it's not an A for me.
Fair enough. I think it might be a little bit of a discrepancy on the grading scales between us, but no, that's good. That's good. That's fair enough. Oh man. All right. Next one. So our third transfer ticket bid here is going to be Dybala. So Dybala is making his move from Juve to Roma. So staying in the Serie A. It was a free transfer. Obviously a left-footed wizard. A guy that doesn't need introduction. He's world-class. Paulo Dybala, Dill, transfer grade.
Guys, I'm going to be the hard grader here. I'm going to go B minus. And honestly, it could have been lower. So I'm giving it a B minus because I think anytime you acquire a player like him for free, like you got to do it. I think it's great business by Roma. But the reason that I'm going to give it a B minus is we got to look at the fit here. So we got Paulo Dybala. He's going to be – I don't think he's going to be defending too much. He's kind of a 10 winger. He's an attacking player, and he's going into a Mourinho system now. And listen, we all know how Mourinho works. He wins trophies, so no hate. But it's not usually pretty, right? It's usually defensive. So I do have question marks as to whether Dybala will be able to succeed in the system. So good business by Roma. Don't know about the fit. I'm going to go B minus.
All right. Ooh, starting us off pretty harsh there. All right. Go ahead, Rich. What do you got for us?
I'll go with a B, to be honest. I think it's, as Dylan was saying, it's very, very good business for Roman. Like, if he's able to fit in the system and also, like, fit in our Mourinho system, I think it's he brings a lot to the table for Roma. So I look forward to I don't know like a lot. I've watched him play and all that, but honestly, I think if he's able to fit in the system and fit in Mourinho's his play style, I think it's a huge huge deal for Roma, and I just can't wait to see what he brings to the table for them. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the next season is going to be like for them.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. So for me, I'm actually going to agree with you here, Dill. I'm going to go B minus as well. And a lot of the same reasons, but you know, as I've followed Dybala over his years, like it is, I think a lot the fit like for him, cause he's a very unique player. And you know, we've seen it at Juve, and we've seen it with the Argentinian national team where he's not able to break in the team because his style just doesn't fit. Like for some reason, like coaches just can't seem to find a place for him. And obviously like he's insane, super sub, like all that, but in some years at Juve and a lot of the time at Argentina, like he's never really breaking into the team, like penciled into the team sheet every week. That's why he's a B minus for me. Cause as you mentioned, like it's Mourinho and we got to think about that. And it's a guy, like we've talked about on the show. It's a guy that, you know, players go and sometimes just fail, to be honest with you, because it's just a very unique way of, and how he runs a team. So B minus for me. I'm pretty safe. I think that's a pretty safe bet. I like that shout, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on, we have another Chelsea transfer, which is great because Drags mentioned a few episodes how Chelsea aren't getting any transfers. So glad he's getting proven wrong there.
Really ate my words there, yeah. But
but we have he's Raheem. Yeah, he's taken the L. He's taken the L. we have Raheem Sterling, MBE, and he's moving from City, Mr. Dragosic's team, going to Chelsea. So what do you guys think about that one? 55 million.
Rich, you want to kick us off?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like for a while, I didn't see that. I heard all this rumor and all that, but I really didn't see that coming. And again, I'll give it a B. It a B because I want to see him be more consistent. Like, cause like some games you go like, damn, wow, like there's a Raheem Sterling I know, and some games too you don't really like see him do as much as like you know him to do. So I think he also, again, he brings a lot to Chelsea. Like obviously, like he's very, very quick, and Chelsea plays like, I think, and again, I think he will fit in because like the pace and all that is like, I just don't know what to say more, but yeah. I think he's probably gonna be a perfect fit if he's like consistent enough, and again, you know what he does to defenders and all that, so like he's gonna be a player to watch. Like I'm just curious to ask him what we're gonna get, what Raheem Sterling we're gonna get at Chelsea. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fair. I'm gonna go next. I even though I loved being in that third position, being able to hear you guys first, I'll take second here.
I was waiting to hear from you.
I know you're waiting for me to go first so that you can base it. I like to, you know, to see the landscape first. So I feel like I might get a little hate here, but you know, I'm a City fan, and I've watched Sterling a lot. And I was watching the game last night, their preseason game last night against Charlotte, and I was watching him, and I think this solidified my grade for me. So it's going to be a C+. So we're in the C rate. I think this is our first C. It's our first C. It's a big deal.
Hey, Dylan, you gotta beat that C.
Let me back it up first. Let me back it up. All right. So C+. I'm gonna say a few things. There's no doubt that I'll start with a disclaimer. There's no doubt Sterling's like a top quality player. Like I think for many years he's been, you know, a mainstay in Pep's system, and I think he's flourished there. And you know, but where I think his career has gone over the last couple of years is why it's a C+. I think, for one, obviously he's still ultra talented, but I think he was very successful in a Pep system. That's I thought he was a very Pep system heavy player, like one of the main ones that would come to mind as a City fan. And so he's making the move to Chelsea. Now, I worry about this move a lot because I was watching him last night, as I said, and it's just a completely new system that Sterling has to pick up here. And he's got a lot of competition at the winger spot. And he's not going to be playing a traditional winger for Chelsea. Sometimes they do, but he's not going to be playing in that role. He's going to have to adjust his game. And at this point in his career, I don't know if that's what he needs. I don't know if he needs a complete fresh start to adjust to a whole new system and, you know, to learn to be successful in that system. I don't know if that's conducive for him right now. And I'm just not completely confident that this year we will see success. And you've seen Chelsea, like you've seen Tuchel, especially those winger hybrid 10 position guys rotated a lot. Who's hot? That's who he's playing. Like I'm thinking Pulisic, like our American boy, like he's struggling to break in the team. You could say it's injuries, but he struggles at times because of, you know, just the way Tuchel operates. So that's why it's a C+ for me. I would love to hear from you guys, from Dill now, about that.
You know, Rich, when I was thinking about this earlier, I was actually thinking of a grade that would have beaten Drags. It would have been lower, but I ended up on a B-. Okay. And the reason I took it up from a lower grade is because he's still only 27. So I still think that there's some room here for growth and a chance to break into the team. But a lot of the things that Drag said, I echo. He's coming into a team where that winger position in a 3-5-2 is loaded. Because they're playing wing backs and wingers at this position. So there's just double the amount of guys for two spots. On top of that, like you said, Rich, he's just not the most consistent player. Like you always see flashes and you're like, damn, Sterling can really be a game changer. But then you look for it the next game and it's not there. And then the last point I have on that, I mentioned it earlier, but between Sterling and Koulibaly, that's 89 mil. Listen, I know Chelsea have a ton of money, but I think they need a striker more than they need Sterling with the departure of Lukaku. So Listen, they got a really good 27-year-old player. I can't hate on it too much, but I still think there's he has to prove something to me. So I'm gonna go B minus.
Yeah, I forget how young he is sometimes, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because he's been around forever.
Yeah, he has been around. He's like a young guy. Surprised.
Like I thought he was much older.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Was much older.
Yeah, no, but I'm still gonna stick to my guns. Say C plus, even after learning of being under being like. I didn't think he was that young, but it's all right. That's all right. I'll still go with it.
All right. Last one on the transfer ticket for today. It's going to be De Ligt going from Juventus again. We got Juventus unloading here. He's going to Bayern for 67 million euros with an additional 10 million in performance-related bonuses. What do you guys think?
I can kick us off here. I'm going to go A. It didn't sound confident, but I'm pretty confident in this one, to be an A for this upcoming season. And the reason I am is because, you know, you look at De Ligt at Ajax and then you look at De Ligt at Juve and, you know, there were some injuries there and you obviously had the two-headed monster at Juve, Chiellini and whatnot, but he's still super young. Like super young and so much potential. And I see him slotting in perfectly with Upamecano there in their four-back system. And I think he's going to have a very successful time there. I think this was a perfect move for him getting out of Juve. Like, as you mentioned, Juve kind of unloading. I don't really know that situation, but that's a whole other discussion. You know, I think Bayern gets a very promising young center back with, you know, a lot of room to grow still. And I think he won't have too much trouble breaking in the team, maybe as he did at Juve sometimes. I just think it's a great move. And I'm very happy for him as a player and I think he'll succeed. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think I'm with you on this one. I also gave it an A. I think it's hard to give it anything else. You're looking at Bayern center back depth. Sule is gone. Upamecano, I don't think he had the greatest season. He has tons of potential, but I still think there's more we could see from him. So yeah, De Ligt slotting in, I think he's gonna be day one center back slotted into the 11. Like you said, at Ajax, everyone knows he's a world class center back when he's on his game, and he's only 22 years old. So it's an A for me. It's a great piece of business by Bayern.
I'll skip on this because I don't really know a lot about him and I don't want to say something I don't know. So
okay, yeah.
You're gonna say A as well. That's what you're gonna say. We're gonna yeah. Agree on
you know,
this
I'll,
one.
I'll give him A plus.
There you go. Rich is on the Ligt train. There we go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So for everybody listening, this is our new segment. Another new segment. It's called Awards. It's pretty straightforward. We're gonna come up with our own awards for players or for coaches or for something happening in the soccer world. I think you'll get the gist of it as we go through. We're gonna have some fun with it, and you'll see what we have prepared. So, Drags, kick us off.
I want you guys to stay with me on this one. My award for this week is gonna be. The Have You Met Ted Award. So,
Have You Met Ted? Okay, I know this.
Yeah, so Rich knows it's a How I Met Your Mother reference. So let me really dive in and explain this award to you and how it relates to soccer in any way. So the Have You Met Ted Award is from How I Met Your Mother. Ted, the main character in the show, is, you know, he's the whole premise of the show is him trying to find love. He's trying to find a sweetheart. That's what he's trying to do. And he struggles. He struggles throughout the entire show. And, you know, it kind of comes full circle. I'm not going to throw any spoilers out there, but one of his best friends, Barney, in the show. Now, Barney, that man's a player. That man is, you know, he's painted to kind of be, you know, this, as I said, player. And what he does for Ted is, you know, Ted's always, you know, has a girlfriend trying to rebound, yada, yada, yada. And so what he does for Ted is he's the best wingman. That's the word I want you to remember. He's the best wingman for Ted. And they go to bars and my man, Barney, any girl he sees, he goes, "Have you met Ted?" and, you know, kicks it off for them. So one of the best wingmen I've ever seen. And so speaking of wingmen, I was watching this preseason game last night. I was watching Bayern against DC United, and you guys can roll your eyes, but that's all we have to watch now. And I was watching the game, and Thomas Muller, man, he comes on in the second half. This man is the best wingman we have in soccer, I would say. He comes on in the second half, you know, instant impact player, instant impact. He has a pass to an assist on their fourth goal, I believe, or no, he's an assist on their fourth goal on the header back across for De Ligt for the volley. He has a pass to assist on the following goal and scores in the 90th minute as well. So we're talking about a guy, I think he has like 287 assists all time, second behind Messi. You know, Messi's in his own category. So it's Thomas Muller, the wingman, the Have You Met Ted Award. Thomas Muller getting my shout out this week on my awards.
Great award. For my first award ever, I'm going to go to something near and dear to my heart. I'm going to give out the Tony Stark Award today. So for those of you that haven't watched Avengers, I think it's overdue. So I'm going to go through it a little bit. So Avengers, the world's about to end. Half of the human race is gone, and they're trying to figure it out. And they come up with this idea. They're gonna go get one of the Infinity Stones, and it's gonna save the world. And they go and do it, and the plan falls through at the last minute. And all of a sudden, it seems like all is lost. And then Tony Stark says, he comes up with a crazy idea to go back in time. And they don't even know if the plan will work, but just the fact that they have a plan is the saving grace. And anyone who listens to this podcast now, they know I love United, and we have been lost for years. But we finally have a man with a plan in Erik ten Hag. And you've already seen how it's looking in preseason. I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to say we're going to win the league. I'm not going crazy. But fucking finally, we have a plan. And so I'm so thankful for Erik ten Hag. He wins my Tony Stark Award. And hopefully this plan that he has ends up with some wins and some trophies. So that's the Tony Stark Award.
Well, you guys set the standard way too high for me. Mine is nice. I was actually like drawing what you always say. I was trying to change mine and think of something. I was like,
nah, man, this is all we do. You don't have to live up to that. That's all. This is all we do. We just think about this dumb stuff all day.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know what to name this, but I'll still say. But just watching Charlotte beat Chelsea yesterday, and I think I don't know. I mean, it's not like. I think, like in that moment, Charlotte would rather beat Chelsea than win the MLS. I don't know what I want, but honestly, like it's like the last PK. It's like yes, we won the championship, and I feel like Chelsea was just what like they just it's just another training game for them. But then looking at Charlotte's reaction, it's like yeah, in your face, yeah, we beat you guys, like we don't this and that. So I don't know what to name that. I feel like I could have come up with like a better delivery and a name for it, but that's what I came up with.
What about the Mint City Award? I like, dude, that's actually a really sick name, like what they call themselves, like the Mint City, like the Mint Army or whatever. Isn't that like their supporters group, something like that? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I'll have to look into it. Oh, yeah. But so actually, Body, I'm sending me this jersey too. Because they asked me what MLS team I support, and we just moved to Charlotte. So I was like, I might go to a Charlotte game. So sorry.
No, you're good.
I know two players on the Charlotte team. They actually had hit me up, like they were like they DM me saying, hey, like we like. I mean, they were just joking around, being like, we like your page. Like you have to teach us how to shoot like that, this and that. So then I've been going back and forth talking to them, and they told me like anytime I'm in town and I want to come see a game, I should let them know, they'll give me tickets to come watch the game. So
that's dope.
So I mean, that's my honestly, I didn't have a team in them, like I was like, I watch any, I didn't really have a particular team I support, but just them reaching out to me and saying that, I was like, hey, I'm a Charlotte fan now. So
that's dope.
That is my team now. Yeah,
there you go, bro. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was
looking for a name and a title for all that story, but I couldn't find one in time.
Like I said, bro, we have too much time on our hands, clearly. But so that was awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed our new segments that we brought to you. That was fun. That is actually all we have for this week's episode 7. So for those of you that stuck around to the end, we appreciate you. It's a really cool time to be a part of Around the World. We have a lot of, our social media is kind of up and running. Got a lot of content going out there. So guys, check that out. We'll link that in the description. We have a TikTok, Instagram, Twitter coming soon, YouTube coming soon, really cool stuff coming. But we also want to just thank Rich again for coming on and sharing his story. It was awesome. And there's, I think, just a lot of cool things that, that he spoke on, and we wish him all the best and everything that he pursues here. So thanks, Rich, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Just thanks for having me. Yeah. This was fun.
Of course, bro.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. So that's all for this week. Be sure to download and subscribe this episode. Download this episode and subscribe to our channel. Jeez, there's my got mixed up in my words there. But so that's all for this week, and we'll catch you next week on Around the World.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.